An APCM is a good time for a church to reflect on where we've come from over the last year and where we're going, although I'm slightly mindful of Dave's illustration now that where we're going is always more interesting than where we've come from. But it's a good time to look back and to look forward and to really sort of take stock of where we are. But how do we assess this? How do we assess how we're doing as a church? When we look around these reports, when we hear them, how do we judge whether we're getting it right? Is it by numbers? Well, they're important. Someone has said, everyone who comes to church is another person who hears the good news about Jesus. But they're not the final word. And there'll be times in a church's life where it is necessary to take a stand on something which will mean that our numbers decrease. So it's not by numbers that we assess. Is it by money? Is it by how much money we get in? Well, money is a great gift. But if it were our goal, we would simply chase after the rich, and then we wouldn't look much like the one we follow, the Lord Jesus. Is it by our buildings, by their state of repair, and by their impressiveness? Well, Nehemiah and Ezra are two books, as well as Haggai, which focus around physical structures, the walls around Jerusalem and the temple. So clearly buildings are important, but whilst they serve us, they are never the measure of our success. The answer is actually what Dave brought to us this morning and this afternoon. The measure of our success is ultimately faithfulness. That is what really marks us out as whether or not we're successful. Are we faithful to our faithful God? Do we hold fast to him and his calling on us? I was saying at the... I've often said that one of my favourite passages is Isaiah 66, verses 1 to 2. And it starts with the Lord telling us about how awesome and great he is, giving us the sense that really he does not need us. And he says this, "Heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house you will build for me? Where will my resting place be? Has not my hand made all these things as they came into being," declares the Lord. It's the truth that we cannot give the Lord anything which is not his already. But then he goes on to say this, "This is the one I esteem. He who is humble and contrite in spirit and trembles at my word." What the Lord wants us to do, how he will measure our success, is are we people who are humble and contrite in spirit before him? Do we recognize our need for him? Do we recognize that we have no claim over him? Do we recognize that we are called to follow him? And are we contrite in the ways in which we fail? Do we go on about how St. Patrick's is great? Or do we go on about how our God is great, though we are not? And ultimately, that we tremble at his word. We do not deal lightly with it. It is a weighty thing. And that will lead us to seeking to be faithful to him above all things, not trusting in our own power, but in his limitless resources. And that's probably illustrated perfectly in the other great commission. I always talk about Matthew 28 on these occasions, but the other great commission is at the beginning of Acts. And it talks about our great job. It says this in Acts 1 verse 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We are given power to do his mission. But I thought I would really want to think, well, how do we apply this to probably one of the biggest things we will face at the moment? And that is the building project. How do we seek to be faithful about this, since this is something we have coming up? I think it raises two questions about faithfulness. Is the building project, as we're considering it at the moment, a faithful response to our circumstances? Pete and others know, I really wrestled with the notion of embarking upon a building project. I'm not a natural builder. I was very sort of deeply humbled by hearing about Dave's great decorating exploits. And when I look at Stephen, who can change a light bulb, I think, wow, that is amazing. I'm not a natural builder. It's not something I'm gifted at. I'm not a natural project manager, to be honest. And if you were to ask me what my goal is in any church, a building would come quite low down in the priorities. Not because it's not important, but because it really serves greater goals. It's one of the reasons why I am very grateful to the Lord for the team who are leading us through this process, and in particular Pete, that he should come along at this time. It feels like a real godsend. But as I said, I wrestled with the notion of doing it. I wrestled with a number of things. The first thing I thought was, well, we don't need buildings to be successful in mission. We simply need God. Why are we talking about buildings? And I was absolutely right. The place in which the church grows most strongly is the crucible of persecution. God is shown as greatest when the church is weakest. And yet, Haggai and Nehemiah and Ezra say that buildings play a part. I think it's difficult to apply Ezra and Haggai to our situation because they were dealing with temples and we're dealing with halls. I think Nehemiah is quite an interesting one. I think it's very interesting to make his project rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. Because actually, I don't know whether you've ever thought this, Jerusalem didn't need walls, if we are going to be very profound and spiritual about this. It had God protecting them. And yet God calls them to build walls around Jerusalem. I was struck by that and I thought, yes, God decided that part of his protection of his people would be through the walls. Now, of course, there is the danger that Israel would, as it had in the past, trust in the walls rather than God. And that's why Nehemiah is marked by both confession, recognizing the sin of God's people in the past, and also on listening to his word. And I think the same could be said of us. Our mission will be successful, not because ultimately because of our buildings, but because of God. But he might work through our buildings as he has in the past, and as we have benefited in using these buildings in his mission today. I'm quite clear that actually something which makes our church accessible to people is that when they come on a Sunday, it is light and it is warm and it is comfortable. Now, we hope they stay because they know the living God. But the buildings have been a great blessing from God, though we must guard against making them our God or trusting in them rather than him. Secondly, I thought, well, we shouldn't be about appearances. And once again, that is absolutely correct. How we look to a visitor is very low down, or how we look generally is very low down on how successful we are as a church. Our actions are much more important. Our love for one another is more vital. And even more than that, our heart is far more important than any of all these things. I sometimes think about applying 1 Peter 3:3 to this, which is a passage talking about to women about how they adorn themselves. And it says, actually, your adornment should be in your works and in your heart. And that should be true of the church as well. The fact that we love St. Patrick's is not to do with the fabric, but the fellowship gathered around the gospel. However, we also know that St. Patrick's isn't first and foremost for those who are already Christians. It's for those who are not. And therefore, the expectation of others who do not know the Lord Jesus is important if we are to show them hospitality. If Costa Coffee want to have a comfortable place and an attractive shop to invite people in, why? Simply to make money. How much greater is our task? How much more do we want to attract people? Hospitality perhaps is a good marker of this. We want our homes to be a place of hospitality. And a good benchmark for us is how the church compares to our own homes. People go into the church, and immediately I did when I came here, thought this is the 1970s. Do they feel that when they go into my house? Or maybe when they listen to the music, but other than that, no. They feel it's a place which feels modern and comfortable. How does our church compare to our home? Thirdly, I thought, won't it distract us from the main thing? So a key concern for me. But then actually what I was struck by this is that there are people whose primary spiritual gifts are precisely in this area of looking after our buildings and doing projects about new buildings. Essentially, just coincidentally, we've had a lot of 1 Corinthians 12 today talking about the different aspects of the body. And if I am somebody who's good at working on a project like this, like the building project, such that other people who have gifts in other ways can be blessed in the service they give, that's a fantastic way that the body of Christ works together. But I also think it's been well-timed by the Lord that at the time when we've been thinking about buildings, our bishop has been encouraging us to think about mission action planning. Now, actually, one of the things that I found when we went through mission action planning is I thought, well, we do this anyway at St. Patrick's. We're always thinking of new ways in which we can use what we have. But it was a wonderful way to be able to publicly do this. And so we chose the parenting course as one thing, which is happening at the moment. The year of invitation. And I've been really encouraged by that, partly because of the people turning up to the Easter egg hunt, partly because people going to the high street and handing out Easter eggs, but mostly through people's informal stories. And I mean by that, not just the stories where somebody said, I invited somebody and look, they came, but the time said, well, I invited somebody, but they decided not to come. Well, we did what we required to do by the Lord. We've been faithful to his charge. It was great on the Chris Sinkinson evening to see so many people we didn't know listening to him speak about God's word. And then social media being the third area, which is still in the process and we should have in place by the end of the year. So that was another thought. The next thought was, well, doesn't God use our weaknesses, I thought. Why are we trying to be strong in this area? Doesn't God use our weaknesses? And yet I try to be strong in other areas. I try to be strong in my preaching and in my pastoral care. I do think that God using our weaknesses is probably the number one thing God has been teaching me over the past couple of years. That we and I shouldn't be afraid when we fear that we are weak, when we fear that we lack resources. Sometimes we get into a real panic. We think, well, something's going wrong or something good's not happening. And who's going to do it and how are we going to do it? And there just doesn't seem to be anyone there to do it. We need to do something. And in a sense, it's quite good to go through that point. But only if it then leads us to saying, well, we're going to have to rely on the Lord and trust in him. His power is most clearly seen when we cannot meet the demands of the situation. However, the fact that God uses our weaknesses or shows his glory most greatly in them doesn't mean that we don't use our strengths for him as well. If God is more glorified in our weaknesses than our strengths, he is not at all glorified by our strengths if we don't use them in his service. If the Lord has given us the expertise to do a new building, and he's definitely given us the money across all of us if we were to look through our bank accounts, then that's a great strength to use in his service. The final thing I wrestled with is the hardest one. Wouldn't it be better to give the money away? I think it's the most challenging question. To a large degree, I would say yes, it is. And it's why, I think very wisely, the PCC decided to include an outward focus to the building project in the form of the tithe. During the PCC meetings, you may be interested in this, I made the decision, as I outlined to the PCC, that I was neither going to vote or contribute to the final discussion about which option we went for. Nor was I going to do so about the tithe in practice, that I did vote at the end. I didn't contribute to the discussion more than just chairing the meeting. But I was greatly heartened when the PCC decided to tithe some of the contributions to the building project. It demonstrates that, yes, we do recognise that we're not just a church standing on our own. We're not just concerned about St. Patrick's, but we're concerned about St. Helier and Holy Trinity and Springfield and the church in Nepal, and the church in Thailand, and the church all around the world. We're concerned about our Christians suffering persecution under the hands of ISIS in the Middle East, or in Nigeria, or in Indonesia. We care about them, because they are our flesh and blood in Christ. So I think it is a good question to raise, but I would say this. I don't think we should make this point about it would be better to give the money away rather than do the building project, unless we then go and do that. Do you know what I mean? Do you see the point? If I say, well, you know, I've got, say, £10,000 or £20,000, which I could take out of my savings, or we could, you know, do whatever, or I'm going to give it over so many years, but actually I think it would be better to give it away. Well, if we say that, then we really should. What we shouldn't do is say it's better to give the money away and then don't give it either away or to the building project. That's just seems to be wrong, doesn't it? So that's the first issue of faithfulness. I've really wrestled with, is this a faithful thing to do? And I think the answer is yes. I think it's still for us to decide whether it's the number one thing we should do. That's why you're now going through this process of judging the PCC. The second question of faithfulness is, are we willing to be faithful with our resources in this? I've got to say, if I talked about one thing I don't like doing as a vicar, it's asking for money. I'm not very good at it. I don't like asking you to give your money. It's actually a sinful thing of mine. It's because I'm embarrassed by it, or I'm fearful of your response. It doesn't make sense, because actually, the work which I'm talking about is a great work. It's worth your money, but I'm just not very good at it. And actually, curiously enough, in this whole process, I've been challenged to think that it's a healthy thing for us to be challenged financially, both when it's forced upon us and when we choose it. Haggai reminded us that how we view our possessions is a key indicator to how we prioritise God's work. It's a very serious challenge, but also a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity to find ourselves challenged financially. It challenges, as we were reminded 2 weeks ago, where our treasure is. And it gives us an opportunity to worship God, to demonstrate how great we think he is, how we think he's more valuable than anything else, to give something that expresses our great thankfulness for all that he has given us in Jesus. Now, it may be that there are better ways we can do that with our money than a building project. But at least we need to consider what God might be teaching us about our faithfulness in this whole process. So I pray that God will give us discernment over the years ahead, the months ahead. I pray that he will give us joy in our hearts. That's what I would love the hallmark of St. Patrick's to be. People would say they're so full of joy. They're full of joy when they praise God's name in song. They're full of joy when they listen to his word. They're full of joy when they meet together. They're full of joy when they serve one another. They're full of joy when they help one another. And they're full of joy when they give stuff away. Why would we be full of joy? Because we know the Lord's indescribable gift to us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm going to close our meeting now with a final blessing. I pray that out of his glorious riches, God may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ may dwell in our hearts through faith. Amen.